So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for this time that you've given us. Lord, we ask that you would enlighten us, challenge us, and help us to live more closely to you. Lord, we pray that you would minister to us as we learn about not only the creation moment, but also as we celebrate Mother's Day. Lord, we pray now for your blessings on this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have a creation moment that was requested by a group of kids that aren't here. So they're going to have to listen to it on the tape because they're not going to get it live from New York. No, live from Cranston. It's on dogs. And dogs are, there's said to be about 400 million dogs in the world. Now, I did this for a reason. Because it's Mother's Day, so I have little puppies. Cuddly little puppies. There are about 400 million dogs in the world. The domestic dog has been one of the most popular working companion animals throughout human history. Dogs perform many useful tasks for humans, including hunting, farm work, security, as well as to assisting those with disabilities such as the blind. There are hundreds of different breeds of dogs. Examples of these breeds include bulldog, German shepherd, collie, golden retriever, Saint Bernard, greyhound, bloodhound, chihuahuas, labradors, great danes, rottweilers, boxers, and cocker spaniels, and that. Shar-Pei, yeah, that's what they call them. All right. The most popular breed of the dog in the world by registered ownership is? The Labrador. You were here Saturday. That's not fair. The Labrador is the most popular dog. I could never believe that. I thought it would be the Golden Retriever, but Labrador, with their gentle nature, obedient, intelligent. Yeah, there's something there. Intelligence and near limitless energy, which is an understatement. Labradors make for excellent family pets and reliable workers. They often assist police and are a common choice as guide dogs. Dogs have formed a strong bond with as pets, workers, and companions to humans that they've earned the nickname Man's Best Friend. Yeah, you'll be tested on this later. Dogs have superior hearing, more superior hearing than humans, capable of hearing sounds four times the distance. Dogs have a remarkable sense of smell. They're capable of differentiating odors in concentrations nearly 100 million times lower than humans can. Domestic dogs are omnivores. They feed on a variety of foods, including grains, vegetables, and meats. A person standing still 300 yards away is almost invisible to a dog, but a dog can easily identify its owner standing a mile away if the owner is waving his arms. Isn't that interesting? Ancient Egyptians revered their dogs. When a pet would die, the owners shaved their eyebrows off, smeared mud on their hair, and mourned aloud for days. Small amounts of grapes and raisins can cause renal failure in dogs. Not good. So don't feed them grapes and raisins. Chocolate, macadamia nuts, cooked onions, or anything with caffeine can also be harmful to a dog. Apple and pear seeds contain arsenic, which can be deadly to dogs. Don't feed them apples or seeds containing arsenic. This interesting one I thought was something else. Rock star Ozzy Osbourne, remember him, right? Bad dude. Saved his wife Sharon's Pomeranian from a coyote by tackling and wrestling the coyote until it released the dog. I think he just went out there and showed himself. Get away! Coyote ran away. But kudos to Ozzy Osbourne. Jumped in there, probably bit the coyote. Dead somewhere. Dogs have a wet nose and collect the tiny droplets of smelling chemicals in the air. That's why they have a wet nose. Dogs like sweets a lot more than cats do. And cats have around only 473 taste buds. Dogs have 1,700 taste buds. Humans have 9,000. Yeah. Dogs have sweat glands in between their paws. I always thought it was their tongue, but between their paws. In 2003, Dr. Roger Mugford invented the waggometer, a device that claims to interpret a dog's exact mood by measuring the wag of its tail. Can you beat that? Dogs have three eyelids. The third eyelid is called the nictitating membrane, or HA. It keeps the eye lubricated and protected, and a dog's shoulder blades are unattached to the rest of the skeleton to allow greater flexibility. I did this because of Mother's Day, too. A mom and a pup. Yeah. So, that's the dog. I'm sure there's lots more to the dog, but in fact, I do have one more thing I'm going to share about a dog. You know, dogs have, when we talk about the smell, they have a greater smell than smelling mechanism. Not that they smell greater, well, they do that too. But they have a greater smelling mechanism. Did you know there's a dog in Australia that is actually finding fossils by smell? Now, this is odd, and it blows evolution out the window because they're saying that the fossils are millions of years old. Well, how can a dog smell dirt? So what they're finding is that these fossils actually have decaying material, protein, etc., that a dog smells. This dog is smelling this and finding fossils because they aren't fossils. They haven't been fossils that long. And they were buried very quickly, according to the article as well. So it's very interesting. Dog Mugaloo, I think, or Magaloo or something like that, is a dog. You should Google it sometime and you'll find out more information about it. Very interesting. All right. Well, we're going to get into Mother's Day. You know, besides the resurrection, the teachings of Jesus, and maybe Christmas, Mother's Day is like the tops. You know, I mean, everybody wants to celebrate Mother's Day. And they want to talk about their moms, especially the good moms. You know, I would say, in my estimation, that 100% of the people in the world have a mother. I think the statistic is pretty accurate. 100% of people in the world have a mother. So that being said, though, you know, they are the most influential people in our lives. You know, our parents, dad and mom. But the mom probably is the most powerful influence in the home because, you know, not that dads are nothing, you know, because dads are important. But, you know, moms carried that child for 9 months plus. You know, some carry them a lot longer than 9 months. And then they're connected by an umbilical cord for that time period. There's something special about the bond of a mom and their child. So moms have this huge part. You don't see football players in the midst of the game and everything. They shine, they bring the camera over to them and they go, "Hi, Mom." Why? Dad was the one that taught him football. Dad was the one that threw the ball back and forth to him. Dad was the one that did all the fun things outside with the kid. And then they go, "Hi, Mom." It shows the power of moms. You know, but it takes us to a dilemma. Because not all moms were good. You know, I was researching, you know, moms. Of course, I wanted good stuff, so I was researching that. But then I thought, you know, not all the moms were good. And unfortunately, probably some of us here had moms that weren't good. And it's unfortunate. And as I was looking for examples of moms that weren't really good moms, I ran across a quote. And I think it was intended to be cute. But to me, it wasn't cute. And this is what it said. Quote, "Just because I'm a mother doesn't mean I care." Can you imagine? If a mom would say that? "Just because I'm your mother doesn't mean I care." I mean, that would just blow me away if my mom would say something like that to me. You know, so there are bad moms, and they are raising children. In 1999, Marie Noe, N-O-E, killed 8 of her 10 children. Mary Ann Cotton, in 1852, she poisoned 12 of her children for insurance money. You believe that? Twander Simmons took her son and 2 classmates out of school to rob banks. They got away with it for a little bit. Ma Barker, you probably heard about her. Ma Barker, her sons, Lloyd, Arthur, Herman, and Fred, committed a lot of crimes, you know, including kidnapping. Her sons, of course, were following her because she was considered to be the mastermind. What a great mom, you know. Hey, I wonder what they got her for Mother's Day. You know, something they stole. You know, it's unfortunate that there are unstable moms out there. And that's the thing. I didn't even read you some of the ones. I mean, there was some ones that just turned your stomach. These were the better ones. You know, examples of bad moms. It just horrified me. I couldn't believe it. Kathy even said, "Oh my gosh, you can't share that." I said, I agree. I can't. You know, so what makes a great mom? What makes mom so special? Well, first of all, I think God does. You know, first of all, God has given moms a special place in the family. And I think, you can see Mom's Day, you know, we knew there was something special about her. You know, there have been some good moms that are not Christian. I mean, I don't want you to feel like, you know, if you're not a Christian, you're not a good mom. Because there have been good moms that aren't Christians. They're doing the best they can. But I want to tell you that the ultimate mom, the most greatest mom that you could ever have, would be a godly mom. You know, I want us to look at some scriptures too. Matthew 28, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 28 tells us that we're to make disciples wherever we go. And that includes moms. Did you know that your household is the most important mission field that you could have? Your own household. You should be making disciples of your children. Talking to them about the Lord. In Proverbs 22:6 it says that teach a child in the way he should go, and when they're old they won't depart. Well, I know there's some of us, we've raised our children according to scriptures and godly and everything, and it seems like they are not paying any mind. But it doesn't tell us how old they have to be when they turn back. Some of us became Christians later in life. You know, and so just because we don't see the results right away doesn't mean God isn't working on them. I want to tell you, when I was in the service, you know, I had become a Christian when I was in elementary school. And when I was in the service, I didn't live like a Christian. But all the while, scripture verses were running through my head because my mom read us stories at night, you know, Bible stories at night. And in Sunday school, they took us to church every Sunday. And Sunday school, they taught us scripture verses. And I still remembered those verses. They ran through my head all the time that I was doing the things I shouldn't be doing, and I was paying the price. In my mind, I was struggling, and I was sweating it out every day because I knew I wasn't living for the Lord. And it caused me great frustration and difficulty through those days. Now I want us to turn to Deuteronomy 265 in your pew Bibles. 265, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11, and starting in verse 19. Now, in Deuteronomy, there's 5 sermons. Moses is preaching 5 sermons. And these are the sermons that he's preaching. He's preaching about taking heed to the law, following the law, doing all the things that, that we should do, learning the law. And so in verse 19, he says, teach them, talking about the law, teach the scriptures to your children. Talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. In other words, Moses is talking to parents. And so parents, moms, we're supposed to teach our children about the scriptures, about Him, about God, His laws, all the time. All the time. We're supposed to tell them when we're walking, tell them when we sit down. We're supposed, you know, my mom, when she tucked us into for bed, that's when the stories came. We hear the stories, you know, from scripture. We learned all about God while we were at home. And then, when we went to church, we learned about God. Why do we put scriptures on the walls? You know, you've seen them. We got them in the back of the church here, and then at many of your homes, I know you have plaques and things with scripture verses on them. We do at our home, and that's the reason why. It's scriptural. Did you know that? It's according to the Bible. You should have them on your doorposts, on your gate, inside the house, everywhere. We should be reminded on the mirror. You wouldn't really want to get your kids prime for the day, start taking little scriptures and tacking them on the, you know, taping them on the mirror that they get ready in the morning with. They're going to read them. Teach your children all about God and His ways. That's the influence that our moms have on us. Children need to know about Jesus. They need to know that they're going to be forgiven for their sins. They need to know that there's a place in heaven prepared for them, that they need to trust Him as their Savior. The next scripture, of course, we read this earlier on, is out of Proverbs. Proverbs 31, 983, in your pew Bibles, 983. In Proverbs 31, and of course, from 10, verse 10 all the way through 31, it talks about moms. Talks about the woman of noble character. And I want us to read the same verses that we read earlier, starting in verse 28. It says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. You see, this is the mom that all of us mothers, women, should aspire to become. You should want to be that godly mom, because the godly mom shares about God, shares about His plan for their children. It shares about eternal life. It shares about forgiveness. It shares about all the things that help us through life. The influence that my mother had on me, yes, I struggled through my life, but it always was there. And she's passed away now, but these are always the things I will thank and be so grateful for what she did, as she shared these things to me. That's the important thing. That's what we need to do. And grandchildren, you know, you don't get off the hook just because, you know, your children are grown and gone. Now you got grandchildren. Those of you that are older, when the grandkids come over, what do? You just play video games or feed them candy? No. Talk about the Lord. We pray. It's kind of cool because, you know, there's times that they'll come to the house and we're ready to eat a meal, and then they'll go, Papa, are we going to pray? That just, you know, melts your heart. And then you can talk about God. You can give them things that they can take home that remind them about God. That's what we want to do. That's what godly parents, godly moms is all about. I want to read a a poem before we close. It's called Dear Lord. It's definitely all about moms. It says, Dear Lord, it's such a hectic day with little time to stop and pray. For life's been anything but calm since you called on me to be a mom. Running errands, matching socks, building dreams and with building blocks. Cooking, cleaning, and finding shoes and other stuff that children lose. Fitting lids on bottled bugs, wiping tears and giving hugs. A stack of last week's mail to read, so where's the quiet time I need? Yet when I steal a minute, Lord, just at the sink or the ironing board, to ask the blessings of your grace, I see then in my small one's face that you have blessed me all the while, and I stop to kiss that precious smile. That is what it's all about. Your family is the most important thing that you can ever devote time to. You know, above and beyond. I mean, God wants us to be devoted to Him, absolutely. But our family comes second. We need to devote our time to our family, raise our children right. There was a man, Charles Finney. He was a great evangelist, but he was always gone. Now this is, of course, talking about a man or a dad. But because of his always being gone, his children suffered from it and they rejected Christ. You know, Billy Graham probably ran into the same thing. You know, and they were really busy and doing all those things. But I'll bet you that his wife was building in Franklin the scriptures and the things that he needed to know. Because later in life, even though Franklin rejected everything about God, went his own way, he came back. Now, I don't think, you know, although Billy Graham probably had some influence, I'll bet his mom had even more. I'll bet his mom had even more. Because she was at home with him while Billy Graham was off sharing to thousands. Didn't mean that the mission that Billy Graham had was any less, because he should do that too. But he needed to really devote time to his children too. Don't neglect your family at home. Do not neglect them. Share about Christ when you sit down, when you rise up, when you do whatever you do. Post it on your door frame, post it in your house. Share with them the gospel so they can know what Jesus is all about and they can come to know Him as their Savior. You know, I was looking for a last hymn and I couldn't help but feel that 355 was the one. Now, it's going to be up on the screen, two verses of it. But, you know, Christ liveth in me. I pray that every single mom in this place has Christ living in her, so that as she raises her children, they can see the example of Jesus in them. So I'd like us to stand and we'll sing the first and last verses of Christ Liveth in Me.